Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Fiddlesoft Tech Limited's earnings conference call for the quarter and half year ended on September 30th, 2022. For the duration of the presentation, all the participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. We will have a question answer session after the presentation. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. So now, without any further delay, I would like to hand over the proceedings to Ms. Neha Joshi, Company Secretary. Thank you, and over to you, Neha.
Thanks, Sunny. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Neha Joshi, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer of Fiddlesoft Tech. A very warm welcome to all of you for the first earnings conference call for the quarter and half year ended September 30th, 2022. For discussion today, we have here with us Mr. Sunil Kulkarni, our Chairman and Executive Director, Mrs. Prachi Kulkarni, Managing Director, and Mr. Mandar Inamdar, our CFO. We have scheduled this call for 40 minutes. If any questions remain unanswered, we'll try to get back to you over email. We wish to start by qualifying that during the call, we may make some forward-looking statements. Fiddlesoft Tech does not provide any specific revenue earnings guidance. Anything which is said during this call, which may reflect our outlook for the future, or which may be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. These statements are considering the business environment we see as of today, and therefore there could be risk and uncertainties that could cause actual results to vary materially from what we are discussing in this call. An audio link and transcript of this call will be shortly available in the investor section of our website, www.fiddlesofttech.com. With this, we are now ready to begin with the opening comments on the performance of the company for the quarter and half year ended September 30th, 2022. Post that, we will be available for the question answer session. I now request Mr. Mandar Inamdar, CFO, to take over. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neha. Good afternoon, and once again, welcome everyone to this first investors call for the quarter ended September 2022. This quarter, we have seen a good, strong performance which continues across segments. We have seen revenue growing to the tune of 26.5%, EBITDA and PAT again rising 3.01 and 3.15 times, and we've seen, more importantly, positive cash generation from our business operations. So this is on the quarter-on-quarter basis. Similarly, on a year-on-year basis, again we see the revenue rising to the tune of 34.6%, EBITDA and PAT both growing 1.81 times and 1.66 times on a yearly basis. In terms of key figures, Fiddle has registered a revenue of 8.62 crores this quarter with an EBITDA of 2.33 crores, profit before tax 226 lakhs, after tax 169.59 lakhs, resulting into an EPS of 1.37. If we compare this with the earlier quarter, the revenues were 681 lakhs, EBITDA 77 lakhs, profit before tax 72.21. Profit after tax is 50.68 lakhs. And comparing it with the previous year's quarter two, it was 640.97 lakhs, the revenue part. The EBITDA was 128.97, profit before tax 120.01, profit after tax 102.44. So all in all, if we look at these key figures, they indicate a sustained and continuous growth quarter on quarter as well as year on year. If we look at the key figure as a percentage of revenue, this quarter EBITDA was 27% of the revenue, profit before tax was 26%, and profit after tax was 20%. For the similar period last year, EBITDA was 25%, profit before tax was 24%, and profit after tax was 17%. All this data has been again made available on our website as well, and you can also refer to it at your leisure. So this was more on our performance for the quarter. Now, with this explained, I would hand it over to Sunil, who would want to share more strategic updates on how we have prepared this quarter and looking forward. Thank you so much, and over to you, Sunil.
Yeah. Namaskar. Thanks a lot for joining this call. It's our first call today, meaning in our entire journey, this is our first call. So thanks a lot. We did fairly decent numbers. From here on, I'll try to share how we came up or are these numbers sustainable, and I'll try to answer these through our strategic updates. So I'm on the 8th slide now. So basically, this was the first quarter where we started using the IPO funds as well from our working capital perspective for digital marketing or participating in events or hiring. We are trying to do it judiciously, carefully, and trying to use it for the same purpose that we have raised it for. Some of the key wins or some strategic insights for this quarter: we added some new clients again to our customer base, increasing the onboarding velocity. From this, now we are trying to segregate them, that who are the strategic customers, who are one-timers, who can be cultivated into more long-termish customers. So we are trying to now look at these clients. Last quarter, in our key takeaways, we had mentioned that we had added new members for a multilingual data creation project, and that project had just started. This project has started now. The value of this project has increased. It's a long-termish fairly. It will continue to the next two quarters. And this multilingual data creation project, the performance has optimized now. People are just used to this project, and hence there is an increasing quantum of value. We had also tied up with an Ireland-based client again last quarter. It started with a small engagement, and now the project has increased. Again, we are seeing a growth in these projects. It's a long-termish, again, client. We had invested, we had hired cloud-based personnel, and because of that increase in competence center, we are seeing queries related to cloud from the US client. This quarter, we also we thought that not just from a projects or sales perspective, we try to grow holistically. We achieved this ISO 17001 certification. While we are not sure, but we fairly think that we are the only Indian company that has achieved so. This will help us to compete in for bigger RFPs in global markets, as well as kind of a thought leadership and quality leadership in this area. On the next slide, we also participated in CITLOB, which is a kind of a flagship organization in India for localization and language engineering. We participated there. Again, we are known fairly decently in this community now across India. We also did a strategic tie-up with a boutique consulting firm called First UA. Some projects have already started. As you know, there are demographic challenges in Japan market, and for that, companies are looking at partnerships in the areas of automation and so on. So Fidel has entered a strategic partnership. We also added senior members like Mr. Anil Patwardhan and Mr. Deepak Shikarpurkar to further strengthen our advisory board in the areas of finance and branding. We also started, as I mentioned, utilization of IPO proceeds have been started. Rentals, PC rentals, they have been converted into, we purchased some infra, PCs, servers, and that reflects in the items here. We also hired sales and marketing, some key staff who have been onboarded now. In this sense, from a working capital perspective, the utilization of IPO proceeds have started. We also saw that we participated in other events. What we have realized is we need to develop talent as well, and hence we are participating in tie-ups with colleges where we can about Japanese training, like or how we can create opportunities for technology and languages. So there we participated in some of these events. We have certain clients in the Indian e-commerce like Flipkart, DMart, Big Basket, and hence we thought that participation in e-commerce and retail would help us in terms of insights. In this quarter, we also had our senior management review meeting. You can see that there's around 20 people, middle management, who have been groomed to manage the company so that it's not just dependent on me or Mandar. And hence, regularly we ensure that the insights are passed to the team, their opinion, their ideas are shared across teams. We achieved this MTP and ISO certification. It was again fairly, earlier our ISO have been taken through Indian counterparts, but this was, we were interviewed through European partners, and it was a fairly lengthy process for us. We saw some employee engagement as well in this. We are seeing some slackening of pressure in terms of hiring, but we want to ensure that any employee that stays, where we have a long-term view with us, and hence there are some employee engagements. I'll move to the outlook. So I just came to US to participate in an event called Lockworld, and while talking to friends in US, we are hearing this recession word here. But thankfully, when we are talking to our own customers, we are still not not feeling that or seeing that. So we are, while we are cautious, it's a fairly a positive outlook for us. We still see robust growth on track. We have a order book of around 12 crores in the next two quarters. This is again, we continue to still mine or still aggressively reach out to clients. Because some of the projects, the performance is optimized, we continue to see healthy PAT. Compared to last 2 years or during the pandemic, we are seeing some less pressure in terms of supply. So we hopefully feel that in next two quarters, more good people will be available at reasonable salaries. Besides this, we also are trying to develop talent or reskill our existing staff. We are seeing that there are opportunities in data enrichment, which is for multilingual data enrichment, and there we are trying to see if we can create some tools or semi-automation, so that which will help us to improvise our performance. While initial of our journey had been focused more on Japan, more we see now because of the product companies, because of the conversational AI market in US, we have started looking at US market, and hence we are trying to see if we can appoint some channel partners, or if we can hire here locally. We also are seeing some supply issues on the some of these multilingual areas where we are trying to ramp up the skill. So all in all, from our perspective, more than the demand side, we are still trying to see how we can ramp up the supply side. We continue to use the IPO proceeds in terms of infrastructure upgradation, hiring resources for key domains, or participation in domestic or international events, digital marketing, or investment in tools. So while these are one-liners, we understand where we are going to use these proceeds. So for example, this time we have participated in LockWorld. In next month, there is a tech event in Bangalore where we plan to participate with SaaS companies. So we have a decent view on coming two quarters where we plan to use this. Yeah. So while the results were decent, we are cautious. We have these two phase mantra where we want to ensure sustainability as well as continue to chase growth. Thanks a lot. Any questions you can take. I have some cough, so my apologies if I'm not audible.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
We are now ready to open the question and answer session. I will now hand it over to Tanvi. Over to you, Tanvi.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Malhar Manik from MHM Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. And it's great to see this new initiative of more investor communication. It's very helpful and hope it will be sustained over the coming quarters also. First question, please excuse me, I am a bit new to the business. But if you could maybe explain a bit on what is the nature of our service now offering, and also what is the percentage that it contributes to our total revenue?
Yeah. Hello. Namaskar. Hello.
Yes, sir. Can you audible? Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, basically, the thought service now, we do end-to-end implementation. We do administration. So there are three parts. One is the daily administration and operational support. Second is as-is implementation. And third is out-of-box implementation, which is customization or integration with third-party tools. So far, we have two major clients, one from Japan and one from US. In both cases, we are doing ongoing administration and support as well as the new customization. The volume is, the percentage is still small. I am not sure how much it is exact. But if we look at our earlier, up to 2 years, we were doing mostly like Java, .NET, or PHP and so on. Last 2 to 3 years, we have tried to move on enterprise applications. So ServiceNow was one, because we saw a huge demand in Japan and so on. So currently, we have a small team. The exact contribution to the sales, I'm not sure. I can check out and come back later. But it's still less. But the idea is that we'll move on to this, to these packages or enterprise applications.
Sure.
Regarding the communication side, we are still unknown in the market, and hence we want to ensure that we at least are transparent from our side and continue to build trust. So we will continue to communicate as much as we can.
Sure. Also, if you could, on the follow-up, if you could maybe share how many other companies are doing such implementation for ServiceNow in India, and also whether we plan to have such sort of services for other SaaS offerings also globally.
Yeah. So when we in our case, what happens is, if there are, I'm sure there are, like, say, 20, 25 ServiceNow vendors in India, but maybe more as well. So in our case, what we found is, or you are. So basically, we are trying to see in that also how we can differentiate ourselves, and thereby, when it comes to implementation in Japan or in ASEAN, there is a language layer that gets added. And hence, so like ServiceNow, we have we looked at RPA tools like Automation Anywhere, where we actually help them localize for Japan market as well. So we are looking at different enterprise solutions where we can contribute. At the same time, how we can scale up to other markets, that still we'll look at it. Yeah.
Sure. Also, sir, can you please give a geographical split of our revenue by country, like how much is in Japan, how much comes from Japan, US, et cetera?
Shall
I take this, please?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hi, this is Mandar here. In terms of geographical breakup, this quarter, APAC contributed almost 59%-60% of the total revenue. EMEA was 22%, and US was close to 20%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one on your phone. The next question is from the line of Pranav Garte from Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Pranav, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations.
I'm sorry, Pranav, if you're wearing earphones or any external headset, please remove it and speak to the handset.
Hello?
Yes, we are able to hear you better.
Hello.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations to Mr. Kunal Kulkarni for great set of number. Actually, I don't have many questions, but I just wanted to check with you that the revenue which we generated 8 crore for this quarter. So how much percentage of, how much percentage will be recurring revenue for the coming quarter? So this 8 crore is for only for means for that project, or any recurring revenue also will come in the coming quarter?
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you joining the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, this is not just a one project revenue. As I mentioned, we have an kind of view or next two quarters, we have an order book of around 12 crore. But these are kind of open orders. So, the exact whether this, so this project also, of course, will continue, but there are other engagements as well. These were one or two highlights that I mentioned, because in last quarter we had given some reference to that, and hence I kind of tried to allude on that. But other than that, also, we have some ongoing projects. Many times we have ongoing MSAs with clients and so on. So, but how much this will contribute to the next quarter, et cetera, I'm not sure exactly. But nevertheless, from a order book perspective, we are looking at around 12 crore. Yeah.
This 12 crore order book that you are, you have right now for the H2, so means, is there any time period when it will get executed? Means in the coming quarter, or it will take longer than that?
No, no, no. In these two quarters.
In these two quarters only. Okay, okay.
Yeah. So the 12 crore order book that we're talking about is, will be spread over the period of next 6 months.
Okay. So if any new order will come in future, then it will be increased.
It is likely to increase, yes.
Okay. And by what time is, do you have any projection by what time you will achieve the revenue of 100 crores or 50 crores or? Do you have any expectation of that?
You asked me, we want to do, we want to achieve it next year also.
That is also great.
But we hope that it's too early to say anything about that. Only thing is we are trying to put the building blocks together. So earlier in past few years, it was always a bootstrapped effort for us. And we never thought more on a strategic perspective. Now with the IPO proceedings and so on, for the first time we have this opportunity to build a sales engine or invest in certain things or add advisory board or look at financial allocation of ours and so on. So this is this first year we are trying to see, run the entire cycle, reach out to advisors, partners, and see how we can. And we'll have a clear look. But it's difficult to say whether it will. But at the same time, we are not trying to leave any opportunities on the table. We are trying to chase aggressively on that. But trying to build it holistically. We want, if we reach 100 or 50 or whatever, we want to ensure that we stay there and continue to build on that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one at this moment. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. We have a question from the line of Malhar Manik from MHM Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you again, sir. Just few broad questions, like what would be our split in revenue between time and materials contract versus fixed price contract?
Sunil, I'll take this.
Hi.
So I would say 90% of the contracts that we do on the IT consulting project side are time and material contracts, and 10% will contribute to the fixed price contracts. On the language localization side of it, most of the contracts are fixed price contract, and but then there's one component which is growing within our language localization services, which is localization engineering, and that is on a time and material basis. So wherever we deploy skills, most of the time to work and deliver on engineering skill set, it is on a time and material basis. But at times, wherever there is a fixed bid project, we understand the scope in totality, which is more easier in localization business because the scope is very well defined and can be delivered at a fixed price bid. There, we continue to deliver on a fixed price basis because we know the entire scope in terms of volume, in terms of expectations, in terms of domain, and it becomes easy. We continue to deliver on a fixed price basis in the localization side. On IT consulting projects, it is 90% time and material.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
And can we talk a bit about how we look at competition? Because generally, it's a very, very fragmented and unorganized also industry with many small players. What do we believe to be our competitive advantages?
Yes, sir. Please say.
Yeah. So basically, Manna, please feel free to add.
Sure.
If you take the vanilla IT services, there are lots of competitors. So that's where we have tried to differentiate ourselves with multilingual technology services or language engineering and so on. On the language or localization side, we see in the, at least in the Indian market or global market, there basically there are these vanilla translation agencies which we don't compete with. I mean, of course, we get localization translation projects as well, but these people don't have the technology side of it. And then there are technology providers, but who don't have the language expertise in-house. Companies who are trying to create fonts, device drivers for printing Indian languages and so on. So again, these are different. From a services perspective and from a scalable perspective, I see that, meaning at least in India, we haven't bumped into someone who's regularly bidding for similar projects and so on. At global level, there are, of course, companies, but mostly these are acquired by biggies and so on. So there's a huge opportunity out there. There are new areas in this where we are chasing, areas like data enrichment, which means annotation of data and making it more meaningful, which is used in autonomous cars, training in AI engines or chatbot AI engines and so on. So again, if you look at these kind of services, value-added services, we are pretty sure that there are not many companies into this space. Munna, please feel free to add.
Yeah, I think you summed it very well. And one competitive edge that we always had and will continue to have is the bilingual aspect of our offerings, where not very few players who would work in that space, where we not only try to add value in terms of the core requirement, but we also top it up with requirements which would need the language component to it. And since most of the global companies are trying to imbibe this language component into their services and offerings, it becomes imperative for them to have this language aspect embedded into their products and platforms. So that's what differentiates us compared to someone who would want to deliver a software development end-to-end. Then if there is a requirement to have a Spanish knowing Java engineer, it becomes a different proposition altogether, where we stand out from others. So that's one area where we think we stand out completely in the competition. And last but not least, we all are currently operating in this called VUCA world, where you always see volatility, uncertainty in business, complex, immature and ambiguous environment. And as a company, we always try to evolve and learn new ways to become successful. The old formula may not always work, and that's what we try to do. And try to do it our way of VUCA, which is our own vision, with our own understanding and clarity and agility. That's what helps us, has helped us so far in our sustained growth state, and how we think we would continue to grow.
Sure. Sir, I got your point about the multilingual capabilities, but as sort of maybe as an entry, what are the entry barriers? I mean to say that I get your point that as of now there are not too many players that do this, but in the future, is there some proprietary technology or some IP that we have which prevents new players from coming in?
Yeah. Hello. Thanks a lot. So basically, there are a lot of entry barriers. One is, of course, client relationships. The ability to deliver on scale, which cannot be built over it. Even if our own employees try to move out, or if we see these require infrastructure. For some clients, we have developed APIs connecting their systems and our systems. So when they create new content, part of that content will come to us, we'll do localization of it, and we'll pass it through another API. So this requires understanding of their system, our system. So one is this part. Two is from a technology perspective, today finding a Java engineer or a ServiceNow engineer becomes very easy. But when it comes to finding or adding a language layer, working with the in-house linguists or hiring them or finding them, meaning aapko aaj Assamese engineer chahiye to kidhar dhundne ka, it's not that easy to and even if we find one, how to scale it up for 20 or how to de-risk by taking off the language component out of it. So there I think over the years we have developed some serious expertise. That said, of course, we don't take lightly any competition. Anybody can enter this field. But it's fairly complicated, meaning when it comes to language part, it's there are areas of complexity. Yeah.
So, sir, what is the number of languages?
Sorry to interrupt. I would request you to please email your questions.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Patel, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So, just want to understand company more. Are we present only in language-based IT solutions or any other non-language-based IT work also?
We are developing or open to non-language IT work as well. So if somebody reaches out to plain vanilla, so when US company comes up and straight away will ask us to customize something in ServiceNow, for example, or develop some cloud-based application in English only, that's fine. For us also, that's fine. We do it regularly. Only thing is, then we not necessarily will have an edge, because the same company can go to Hyderabad, to Bangalore, or anyone. And so on. But the moment we, the same US client wants to roll out that same application in Spanish as well to cater to the Spanish customers in US, then again, for them, we stand out. So while we are open to develop or from technology perspective, we have technologies in-house, we can do anything. But we are trying to see how we can play on our strengths. Yeah.
Thank you. We'll move to the next question from the line of Ankit from Vijit Asset. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Good evening. Thanks for good
service. Ankit, we are not able to hear you clearly.
Sorry.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Yeah.
Thanks, management, for the good set of numbers. I just have two quick questions. One on the attrition rate of our company. As you said, we have new people are joining and we are having difficulty getting people on board. So what's our attrition rate? And follow up to that, how many people do we have in our workforce in total? That's it from me. Thank you.
Okay. We had an attrition rate of 11% this quarter. And 8% in Q1. Hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So I said 11% was this quarter, 8% was in Q1. In terms of our headcount, we have 160 employees on our payroll, and we have about 51 contractors, retainer contractors.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have Anand Patel in the question queue, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So we lost connection, sir. So basically, what is the percentage of revenue coming from this English side?
I don't have handy numbers. Matlab, you have?
Meaning, your question, I just try to understand what is the revenue which is coming from projects where there is no language component, right?
Okay, only English, yes, the main basic English.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I do not have an exact the point number, but if I have to estimate the English only projects would account for maybe close to 30% of our revenue.
30, 30. 30, okay. Okay. And sir, what is the market size of multilingual the software industry in India and globally?
Globally, it's more than $40-50 billion, because in this field there are the top company like TransPerfect, LandBridge. They do around $1.5 billion of revenues. Globally, it's more than $40 billion. The language industry. Add to it the technology industry, of course, it becomes more. But so if, when we look at multilingual, we can fairly assume that $40-50 billion minimum is.
Okay, thank you, sir. And regarding this 25% plus EBITDA margin, which are in Q2, are they sustainable?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
So,
so yeah, we believe they are sustainable, and with the abundant business opportunities that we're looking at, with the order book already in place, which we mentioned to the team of 12, we confident that we should be able to do well in the coming 2 quarters as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And one more question, sir. Last. The what is the contribution from, I mean, top or top two or top three clients in Q2? Because our actually order book for H2 is, I think, lesser than the order executed in H1. So just want to understand the client concentration and about this lower order book for H2 than H1.
Your question is in terms of percentage?
In terms of percentage of revenue, what are the top two or top three or even top client contribution in this Q2?
So, I think as I stated earlier, our top five clients contributed to 59% of our revenue this quarter.
Okay. Okay, and sir, any lower order book for H2 than H1?
I would request you to please email your questions.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Patel, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, all. Thank you for taking my question.
Namaskar.
In fact, I had two questions. One, I think, got answered. That was related to the guidance on EBITDA margin going forward. And there, I think we mentioned somewhere around 25% margin, which is on a sustainable basis. The next question is related to the group structure. So I just want to understand, do we have any other group entity from where also I think we can execute similar kinds of contracts, similar nature of services, I think? Because I understand, I think we have multiple entities under the same group. And largely, I believe, I think those are into similar nature of services.
Yeah, namaskar. So regarding this, the other entity do not have the execution capability.
Okay.
So, like for the entity in Japan, they are closer to the customer. They get the project. They understand the requirement, and then pass it to India.
Okay.
And the Indian entity can execute it, meaning in terms of technologies and the available infrastructure and expertise and so on. So the other entities cannot by themselves and in the entirety do or deliver anything on their own. This is just to answer your question. Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, how do we record the profits in the entity which is listed in India?
So all of these entities are legally independent entities. They're not a subsidiary or a branch of each other.
Okay.
So all of these entities have their own business agenda.
Okay. And I'm sure I think we'll be following off all these transfer pricing kinds of regulations.
Yeah. Right.
Sure. And one final clarification. I think just before the announcements and launch of the IPO, I think we used to have some one subsidiary in which I think Fidel used to have more than 51% of holding. But just before the IPO, I think we sold some of the stake and brought it below to 51%. That is why I think, in a way, I think we just stay away of the definition of consolidation or subsidiary kind of relationship. So was there any specific reason behind that?
There are two aspects. I think you are referring to this entity called Lingvasol. So
basically,
while there is no specific reason, mainly what happens is our Fidel Softec is a services nature business. So services may, our approach is we can do anything kind of. And then Lingvasol is a product company or a solution based where they can do only certain part. And so, and hence the sales cycle, the mindset, and the, it has a more longish nature or a different nature altogether. And that was one of the thought process behind it.
Okay. Okay. Just for the information, what is the top line and the profitability of that company?
It's not, I mean, I'm not sure. But we can get back to you on that. I mean, mota mota, it would be around 2 to 3 CR of top line. Yeah.
Okay, okay. Much lesser than the size of the Fidel software.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very. As I said, it's a product for me.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is the last question for today, which is from the line of Nikhil Chandak from JM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to continue with the question which one of the other participants was asking, you know, on the order book. So, you've done roughly 15 crores revenue in this fiscal year, but your order book is roughly around 12 crores. So, how should one understand this? As in, is this the normal visibility of order book which you have, or, you know, this order book gets beefed up, or how should one read it? Because it's lower than the first half of revenues of the first half itself.
Yes. Namaskar.
So,
thanks a lot.
Yeah. Yes,
sir.
Go ahead.
Please take it.
Okay. Fine. So the order book that we are currently talking about for 12 crores is something which we have a visibility and which we kind of are sure to execute. However, this does not take into account any new additional orders that our sales team would continue to bag throughout the next 6 months. So that would add up further. These are confirmed accounts, customer accounts, to whom we anticipate 12 crores of business to a confirmed order booking, and there's something which is not included in this 12 crores is the new customer acquisitions, the projects that we will deliver which are outside this 12 crores.
Or even whichever projects or whichever clients where we are seeing further opportunities or in additions to existing projects also, we are taking a very conservative view, knowing that things are pretty volatile all over the world. And while we are, and immediately our customers don't show any signs, but we never know. So from that perspective, we have taken a very conservative view. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you can have an order book, you can have a contract in your order book only once it's signed and sealed, so to say. So that I understand.
There are two angles here. Again, in many cases, so how in our cases the project work two ways. One is the customer has a requirement, he gives the RFP or quote, and we give a quote and we secure that order. Second is the customer where we sign up MSAs, we fix up our rates, and then over the year we get business. We have not added those kind of business because there is no, we also don't have any view on that. Over the years, we have ties up. We know that certain projects will come up. but we have not added any of those. Wherever we have a kind of assigned PO or we have a good visibility, only that we have added. Again, these are first year, we are trying to understand. We don't want to go overboard by citing any numbers here and there. Yeah.
Fair point. No, I appreciate that. The other second question was, you know, just on a particular contract, I just wanted to be sure, you know, somebody else also had asked the risk of technology taking over the manual work which is done by, say, by your translators. Now, how much of a scope of work is, you know, manual, and how much does technology play a role in that contract which you have got, just on a broad basis?
First of all, thanks a lot. So for the many people think that say Google Translate can do, and so most of our enterprise customers will not go for this machine translation, what we call, because there is no understanding of context and so on. We also leverage to reduce the review time or to ensure consistency, leverage reuse of words and so on. But I think while these DeepL, Google and many of these companies have come up with this thing, there is this last, there is a lot of work which where human interaction or human is needed. That took, at the same time, we are not just going for just manual this thing. How we can semi-automate some part of it so as to better our own performance. So we don't see machines taking over or completely on the language side of. Just to give an example, if I say Bank of India, I bank on you, or River Bank, anything can I can mean. But so the contextual part and enterprise, they don't want to get sued. They want to ensure that the correct nuances are when we are working with the banking system or enterprise websites and so on. So we don't foresee these machines taking over yet.
Fair enough. But how much portion of the work which you do?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. So I would.
Technology play a part in that. Ma'am, if you can please let them complete the answer, please.
In most of the work that we do, technology is so, for example, whatever, let's say even if we are doing some manual translation, for this we use there is a parlance called TMS, what we say, translation management systems. Some of them we have built in-house as proprietary tools, some we use as licenses and so on. But here, whatever we translate, it gets piled up and it gets reused. So next time if there is a similar work or segments, I don't have to redo everything. I can reuse certain things. How much can I reuse in a certain context? We also don't know many times, but in any time, where between 20 to 30%, we can reuse our own work while doing a particular. So technology comes into picture. Many, unless, let's say, kal ko koi aata hai ki birth certificate translate karne ka hai. So usme technology pura ho, haath se koi, anybody can translate that. But then those people will not come to us. They will go to some other freelancer or translator and so on. In our case, we are talking of, we want to localize or launch our, say, internet banking system in 3 languages. Now here, how to extract their data, how to store it in Marathi, how to ensure that strings are not cut. There is a lot of engineering work that comes in picture, and there we feel that we are competent. Yeah.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Kulkarni for closing comments.
Yeah. So thanks a lot. I really appreciate. We are still learning, trying to, anyway, while we know our own business, but this going public and this is all new to us. We understand that as an SME, it's up to us how much more we can communicate from our side, whether good or bad or unclear or whatever. We want to ensure that we build our trust in coming months, years. We'll try to answer as much as possible, whatever we know. Yeah. And of course, we'll chase growth, we'll chase performance. While we are chasing quarterly numbers, we actually don't have a quarterly view. Whatever we are building, we know that next 5 to 10 years, we have to have a sustainable edge. Thanks a lot. We'll continue to stay connected with you all. Thanks.
Thank you. On behalf of Fiddle Softtech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.